We take a short recording.
Okay. As I was saying before we turned on the recording, the Gemara makes a hekesh between Pesach and Sukkot. The Gemara wants to know for what purpose. So here, top of Hey Omid Aleph. Ma chaga matzot ta'un lina, af chaga sukkot ta'un lina. Just like you have to have a slumber party, you have to sleep over. What's lina? Lina means to stay over. On Pesach, you have to stay over. You come to Yerushalayim. You have to Korban Pesach. You have to come to Yerushalayim. You have to stay over in Yerushalayim. So just like you have to stay over in Yerushalayim for Pesach, you have to stay over for Sukkot as well. In other words, the chovah of Aliyah L'Regel requires a stay. How long a stay is a machlokas. But you have to sleep over in Yerushalayim at least for a certain amount of time. Vahatam menalan dichtiv ufan. So for Pesach, how do you know? So in Parshat Re'eh, it says ufanita baboker v'halachta lo alecha. And as you come, you bring korban Pesach. And in the next morning, there's pinui chadarim. There's checkout, right? You check out of wherever you, and then you go off to your home. So you see from that, you have to stay over. Rashi here says ta'un lina leil cholo shel moed ufanita baboker biyud tet. Loka Amar Krah Shaharehu Yom Shechiyuvo Lirot Bazara. Biyomtov, Biyomtov Loka Amar Kara, Loka Amar, Slicha. Fanita Baboker, Biyomtov Loka Amar Krah Shaharehu Yom Shechiyuvo Lirot Bazara. So Rashi says you have to stay over till the first day of Chol Hamoed.
Well, you couldn't leave anyway in the middle of Chag.
You could have left on Motzei Yom Tov.
No, but Baboker.
Well, Seder.
Well, hotels, you do check in, but you can't.
Right. So, check out. Anyway, so Rashi says you have to stay over to the first day of Chol Hamoed. Tosfos says you have to stay for the whole Chag. Right? And it's when it says, Shalosh Pamim B'Shana Yireh Kul Zecharecha B'Chag HaMatzot Chagurah. So how much Yeroed do you need? How much time do you have to be seen in Yerushalayim? So Rashi says you have to stay on Pesach, you have to stay the first night. You have to stay till the first day of Chol Hamoed. Tosfos says you have to stay for the whole Chag. The Ritva splits the difference. The Ritva says for Pesach, you have to stay until the first day of Chol Hamoed. For Sukkot, you have to stay the whole thing. Why might that be?
Different Korban. You want to see each Korban.
Oh, because each Korban is different.
Maybe.
And Sukkot, you also have Simchat Beit HaShoeva.
So it's really a third.
We have Shmini Atzeret. Except, right, but in other words, there doesn't seem to be a chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel just for Shmini Atzeret.
Right.
If somebody becomes, let's say, a katan is potter from Aliyah L'Regel, it's the first Mishnah in Chagiga. A chole is potter from Aliyah L'Regel. So let's say, what if your bar mitzvah is in Hoshana Rabbah? In other words, on Erev Sukkot, you were in a bar mitzvah, so you're potter. I mean, if your dad wants to take on a trip, that's fine, but you yourself are potter. But you become bar mitzvah in Hoshana Rabbah. Do you have to run to Yerushalayim to be Mekayim the Din for that evening? No. The first regal that you'd be chayiv to go to is the next Pesach. Because Shmini Atzeret is not, I mean, this is the Gemara we saw last time. In what ways is Shmini Atzeret a completely separate holiday? In what ways is it kind of like a appendix to Sukkot?
It's the has to be on the first day of Sukkot.
Well, in theory, ideally, maybe.
Yes,
but this is the topic that we're discussing about how much tashlumin do you have? Like, what's the real deadline for bringing the korban?
They have 7 days at least.
Right.
But No, it's a person, Lechatchila, if he doesn't get there until the second day of Chol HaMoed and he brings it in, is that...
No, it's a Beseder, but in other words, but if you weren't Chayiv on the first day, if you become Bar Mitzvah...
No, nothing like that. A regular person is Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it, I don't know what.
He's done it. Couldn't make it on the first day.
Yeah, for all the reasons that you can't make it, yeah.
His wife just gave birth. He stayed home. I don't know. He's making a bris. I don't know what. He put it on the second day of Kolam Moed, third day of Kolam Moed. Is this carbon any different or any less of a carbon than if I had it on the first day?
I don't know. I don't think so. So the Gemara says, "V'tana kama Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, tashlumen la'atzeret manalahu." So then, where do you get? In other words, remember, the Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon take that pasuk that you only violate Baal Ta'achir after all three Chagim have passed, all three Regalim have passed. So where do they get the halacha? And they read the pasuk to say from this you see that the three regalim have passed. And the other opinion says we learn from this the idea that there's a hekesh because you have Sukkot and Pesach in the same pasuk. They learn the idea that they both require lina, just like Pesach requires lina. So where do they get the idea of where do they derive the idea of Baal Ta'achir for Shavuos. You know, for Pesach and for Sukkot, so you know that you have 7 days to make up for the 7 days. But where do you get the idea that you have 7 days to make up for the 1 day of Shavuos? Midatani Rabba Bar Shmuel, Tatani Rabba Bar Shmuel, Amra Torah Manayamim V'Kadesh Chodesh. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, what do? We count the days in the absence of Kiddush HaChodesh. Let's say there's no Kiddush HaChodesh. Either like today we have no Kiddush HaChodesh, or even when there was Kiddush HaChodesh, let's say it was, you know, in the winter. Probably there are a lot of times that there was no Kiddush HaChodesh because no one had seen the sliver of the new moon on a rainy, cloudy Jerusalem evening. So what do? You count the days. As you're aware that when there's Kiddush HaChodesh, even when there's Kiddush HaChodesh, it doesn't mean that we wait until Edim come.
Right.
There's a maximum.
It would be 30 days.
Right.
30 days.
So in other words, you count, but how long is the Jewish month?
Well, it's actually 29 days and 11 hours.
Can you imagine this is the shiur that Tom's not here? It's 29 and a half days and 700 samad halakim of 1,000 parts, right? That's, you know, when they announce the mola, that's what... But no, I mean, like, we don't pay attention to that. So in other words, the point is that Rosh Chodesh, you know, when they say the mola will be on Tuesday at 11:32 a.m. So what is that? I mean, l'may nafkamina. It's not going to be Rosh Chodesh until Wednesday night. Because we don't start Rosh Chodesh. It's not like we change the calendar at that exact moment. Right. Why?
Days are full days.
Because the day is a full day, and you look at the day. Is this the last day of the previous month or the first day of the next month? Right. So you count the days, and you sanctify the month. Manayamim v'kadesh atzeret. So you count the days, and you make Shavuot.
Why?
Which days?
Makashem.
Hold on a second. Which days do you count?
You count the Omer.
Sfirat HaOmer. In other words, the Gemara is making this idea that you count the... Hold on a second. Don't wrinkle your brow. If you didn't learn the Gemara in advance, don't wrinkle your brow.
You can't see me wrinkling my brow when I'm listening.
I know. It doesn't bother me at all. What you want to do in the privacy of your own podcast is up to you. The days you show up to the live share, don't wrinkle your brow. So Rosh Chodesh, you count the days until you get to the day, and the next day becomes Rosh Chodesh. Because we look at the day. The day itself has like this kind of integrity. We don't start splitting the days up into different halakim. And the same thing with Shavuos. You count 49 days, and then boom, the 50th day becomes Shavuot. Mach ma chodesh leminuyav, af atzeret leminuyav. Eima atzeret chad yoma. So just like Rosh Chodesh is a product of the passage of a certain amount of days, so too Shavuos is a product of the passage of a certain amount of days, and you get one day. You get one day of Shavuos. So maybe that's it. So Eima atzeret chad yoma. So say that Shavuos is a one-day thing. Use it or lose it. Omar Rava, Amar atzeret yomei minyanan, shvuei lo minyanan. But wait a second, when it comes to counting up to Shavuos, now do you understand? The idea of Pesach and Sukkot, each having 7-day grace period, mm-hmm. Where do you get the idea of 7-day grace period from? Because the holiday itself is seven days. So for Shavuos, why should you have a 7-day grace period? The holiday itself is only one day. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. You cannot say that there's no kesher between Shavuos and the concept of 7 days. Right. Because Shavuos is not just the product of counting 49 individual days. It's the process of counting
7 weeks.
7 periods of 7 days. So maybe you could say that Shavuos...
For 7 days.
Va'omar mitzvah leminyane yomo, mitzvah leminyane shvui. And even in fact, there's two different mitzvot when you count. There's a mitzvah to count the weeks, and there's a mitzvah to count the
days.
The mitzvah to count the days, and a mitzvah to count the weeks. That's what we say, you know, hayom, you know, do the math. Arbasre yamim sheim shnei shavuot laomer. Va'od chag shavuot k'tiv. What's his name? Its name has the word 7 built into it. So that's the answer. That's the answer they give.
But also it seems that there's a model or a structure for the rebellion. That model has a...
Yeah, so that's interesting. You could say that, no, in other words, that's the makeup period is...
Right. Because in all the rebellion, the first day you're mukhoyav, because that's the holiday. But if you couldn't make it the first day, then they give you those extra days because they realize...
No, I mean, logically...
Built into the system.
Logically, as Shalom said, there are all types of reasons that a person might not make it Aliyah LaRegel. It's an interesting question. It's an interesting historical question. Our romantic notion that 3 times a year, the entire country emptied out and made its way to Yerushalayim, leaving behind only the people too sick and old and infirm to make it, the blind and the deaf...
Yeah, we started a country.
I asked Seth Safra about that one.
Yeah, what did he say?
He's a professor of Bayachanian. So he said that it was probably only Shavuot, only Sukkot that people came. I mean, in the masses, they just weren't.
In the masses for Shavuot, for Sukkot, and how many? What percentage?
Yeah, but maybe over the course of the week. I don't know. I don't remember the details. But in other words, you have a little more time. But there was not.
I mean,
well, how would it was always
came called the
chag. It was also called the chag because it was the one chag that people.
How would it have been possible to even achieve hundreds of thousands? Of people?
That's really odd because you'd think that people want to come to Korban Pesach, which is limited to the first day.
Right. Not only that, they were chayyim to come.
I mean,
yeah, but also you have to do something else. When Pesach comes around and Shavuot comes up, you're in the middle of your farm.
I mean, it's an interesting question.
You're at the end of the harvest, you're after everything.
What was the expense of going to Yerushalayim for Pesach? I mean, we know what the expense of going to Yerushalayim for Pesach is today. Right? Not everybody can do it.
Well, you needed to acquire an animal to be makriv.
And you needed to acquire an animal to ride on to get there. And you needed
to sleep over.
Right? And you needed, and like assuming you were in agriculture, as most people were, so the chagim are actually timed to be at a time when you could actually get away from work. But not everybody worked in agriculture. And what was the security? What was the security plan
for
the entire Galil, the entire Shvela? Empties out completely? You think? Yes, but in other words, you think the Plishtim didn't notice that?
Desire your land, you don't have to worry.
Yes, but in fact, there were other nations here. There were other peoples here. And one wonders what would happen if you left behind all the women and children.
But not everybody might have the regal.
No, but that's the whole point.
That's precisely my point. We don't know. I don't think we have a solid number of and we because we have like a guesstimate of what the actual population was right. In the period of Bayit Rishon.
So people came from Chutzlaretz also.
And people came from Chutzlaretz. Presumably, a far smaller percentage of the Jewish population came from Chutzlaretz. People would come when possible, but the idea that everybody came, all three regalim, cannot be historically supported. But it was an ideal, and
it was a pretty serious obligation for the Korban Pesach.
Yes,
more so, you could say, because of the ramifications if you willingly in a situation where you could have come, don't.
Do people do Korban Pesach at home also?
Hmm? Mm-hmm.
So do people do Korban Pesach at home also?
Oh, during the time of when there was...
Even before. I think there was understanding that Korban Pesach could be done even without... Even Korban Pesach does not require a... There were times people continue to do Korban Pesach after Yerushalayim, after the Korban Pesach. So maybe we'll do Korban Pesach.
So the Gemara says, in the list of things, the Gemara says, in the list of things that for which there is a prohibition of Bal Ta'acher, Pesach is one of them. So the Gemara says, Ufesach bar mikrev biregalim? How could you, in other words, what's the idea? You have, however you define it, either you have 6 months or... You know, there's the different sheet about how to calculate Bal Ta'acher. You have either you have a window of 6 months, or in theory you have a window of up to almost a year and a half.
Right.
And in a leap year, even more.
Right.
But let's take the narrowest window. Let's say you make a neder on Erev Pesach. You have until that Sukkot to bring your neder. About a drop of more than 6 months. So when should you bring it? What would be the best to do?
Pesach.
And then after that, okay, try to get it in for Shavuos, and after that, try to get it for Sukkot. No, it's not a Pesach. It's not a Korban. It's not a Korban Pesach. It's not a neder. I make a neder. I'm going to bring a Korban.
Okay.
It didn't have to be brought on Yom Tov. That's correct. But the point is that the earlier you do it, the better. But if you assume that you only went to Yerushalayim on those times, but if you lived in Yerushalayim, kol hakodem zocher. The Korban Pesach. Why? How is it shaykh to say that you have until Sukkot? Can you bring the Korban Pesach after Pesach?
Theoretically, if you had, for some reason, you had the Korban Pesach and you didn't bring it, then you have to bring it to Shlomim afterwards.
Oh, so you learned ahead.
I don't know where I learned it. But
yeah, you learned ahead, or maybe you just remember from the last time you learned the Gemara. Well, that's the answer of the Gemara. Okay. But before we get to Shalom's clever answer, let's understand what the Havamina is. In other words, the Korban Pesach. When do you have to bring the Korban Pesach? On Erev Pesach. Or on Pesach. Are you getting tired of this? On Yud Dalad, Nisan. If for whatever reason you were unable to bring the Korban Pesach, there's an idea of Pesach Sheni, but that's something else altogether. Right? But you certainly can't bring the Korban Pesach on Shavuos. You certainly can't bring the Korban Pesach on Sukkos. So how is it shaykh to talk about Bal Ta'acher when it comes to Korban Pesach? Korban Pesach is more akin to a Korban Tzibur, where we say over Yom HaBatal Karbono. If we didn't bring the Korban Shel Bein HaArbayim this afternoon, when can we bring it?
That's it.
My wife always loves to tell the story of Felix. You know Felix, the makolet in Katamon. There's a makolet. It's an old Jew named Felix. He was Rav Aaron's makolet when Rav Aaron lived in Katamon. He lived next door to Felix. So Lana used to live right there. So she goes in once and she buys a thing of milk and she takes it home and she opens it up and she puts it into the coffee and it comes out as cottage cheese. So she sees the date is, you know, like it expired a week earlier. So she takes it back to Felix. Felix looks at it, sees the date, says, "Over Yomo Batel Karbono." Right? Even the Balei Makolet in Eretz Yisrael are Limudei Hashem, whether they're dati or not. So in Korban Tzibur we say over Yom HaBatal Karbono. There's no tashlumin. You miss it, you're out. So in some ways, Korban Pesach is like that.
Should be like
that. What?
Yeah.
You do it on Pesach?
Or you don't do it. Yeah, you missed it.
That's so
it.
Pesach bar mikveh biregalim? So can you bring Pesach on other holidays? Pesach zimna kviya lei. Pesach has a set time. I akriveh. Akrive. If you sacrificed it on Pesach, you sacrifice. Ilav akrive, idache. And if you didn't sacrifice it on time, it's a nitche. It's
gone.
It's gone.
For fallen.
Excellent translation. So Omar of Chista, Pesach kdi. No. Pesach is mentioned in the list for no reason at all. It doesn't really belong there. It just, since we're listing like all of the things that have to be brought, it's there, but it's not really shayach to the conversation of. It's not really shayach to the conversation of Bal Ta'acher, but Rav Sheshes says, "My Pesach, shall me Pesach." He knew about Shalom's answer. No. When the list says there's Bal Ta'acher for Korban Pesach, it's talking about Shalmei Pesach. What's Shalmei Pesach? Rashi says, "Bishelo karev bizmano she'avad." You have a little Chad Gadya. The Zabin Abba Bitre Zuze. You know, that's the point of the Chad Gadya. What's Chad Gadya? This innocent little goat. And then along comes the dog. The cat. And then along comes the dog. And then along comes the stick. And along comes the cat. But who's the real victim of the Chad Gadya?
The son?
No.
Or the person about the goat for?
No. No. Who's the true victim in this tale of ongoing oppression? You know, like people interpreted the Chad Gadya as like referring to different episodes in Jewish and history, the history of anti-Semitism. Who's the real victim?
The father. He loses his money.
Hmm?
The father loses his
Abba! Money. It's always about Abba. The Zabin Abba Bitre Zuze. It's always the father that's out the money. Right? You know how hard you had to work for Trey Zuze? How much was Trey Zuze worth?
You keep your money and with the fat kids in the first place. It's worth one goat.
It's worth one goat. How much would it cost to buy a goat today?
Good
luck. Well, I'll tell you, we bought a leg of lamb for Pesach. A lamb has four legs. The leg of lamb costs 400 shekel. So Tres Uze had to be worth, you know, quite a bit.
My question is always, were the cats, were they big?
Or
were they
goats? Did the cats eat goats? Yeah. So Rashi says, Shalmei Pesach, b'shelo karev b'zmano. If for whatever reason you don't bring the korban, you take a gedi, and you say, this is going to be my korban Pesach. You designate it as your korban Pesach, you have a chabura, it's your family, or it's a bunch of people. And then she'avad, and the goat runs away. Why would a goat run away? Smart goat.
Capricious.
Are you making like a pun on Capricorn?
That's what the word capricious means.
Oh, does it?
It means goat like. I think the Rav Tak Sarcha once uses that sort of thing.
How does
goats just hop around? And they're kind
of, oh, that's a capricious mean. Yeah. So does the goat runs away? Maseha is v'nitchaper ba'acher, and you bring. You have to, so what do? You have to go get another korban. So then, and then you find the goat after Pesach. So what do you do with that goat that was already designated as a Korban Pesach? You can't bring it as a Korban Pesach now.
Right.
You bring it as a Shlamim. Kidenafka labipsochim. V'otan Shlamim im achron gimel regleim. So when do you have to? So that goat, the goat that got off the hook for Leila Seder,
he's just got a temporary reprieve.
So now we just change his status from Korban Pesach to Korban Shlamim. When do you have to bring him?
Before the next.
So then it's like any other korban, and you have bal ta'acher after shalosh regalim. So when on the list it says Pesach, bal ta'acher is not shayach for the korban Pesach. But what is it shayach for? It's shayach for this category of the shalmei korban Pesach. Right? When in this odd case where the goat goes missing and then it gets found again. So ihach yahainu shlomim. Tana Shlomim, Aboy Machmat Pesach. V'Tana Shlomim, Aboy Machmat Atzman.
So if you picked this goat, designated this goat, and then you became Tameh before Pesach, is this goat held in Pesach Sheni, or this goat becomes like it becomes a Shlomim?
No, you can. In other words, if you have a goat, let's say it's your private goat, let's say you were, in other words, it's a problem.
But I designated it.
For you know, we have this idea of the Chabura, the whole, it's a... But let's say you have a private korban. Well, let's say you have a chabur of people, and you're on your way to bring the korban Pesach.
Right, and you all drop.
And one of you drops dead in metame the whole rest of you.
Right.
So then you wait to become tahor, and then you can bring that goat for Pesach Sheni. Ho'il machmat Pesach. So since this Korban Shlomim is being brought on account of its connection to Pesach, even though now it's just a regular Shlomim, so we call it, that's why the list has the word Pesach on it. Kamash Malon. So on that long list, on the long list of things that are susceptible to the Isser of Bal Ta'acher, Minahani Mili, what's the source for those things? How did those things get on the list? The Tanu Rabbanan, Tidor Neder, Ein Li Ela Neder, Nedavan Minayin. In other words, we understand, as the Pasuk says, Ki Tidor Neder. When you make a Neder, you have to be careful to bring it and not to delay. So I understand how Neder gets on the list. How does Nedava get on our list? You understand what's the difference between Neder and Nedava?
Neder is a vow. Nedava is like a donation.
Yes.
Like, cool. I sanctify something to give to you.
Right. If I say, I vow to bring a Korban Shlomim, so I have to bring a Korban Shlomim. If I vow that I'm going to bring this animal as a korban, and then this animal drops dead, do I have to bring a korban?
No.
So how do you know that the davot are also on Baal Ta'achir? Ne'mar kan neder v'ne'mar lahalan im neder o nidava. So the pasuk has a hekesh between neder and nidava. So we learn nidava from neder. Ma lahalan nidava. Imo afkan nidava imo. Lashem elokecha elu hadamin. What's the who is a chumash? Okay, we all whip out your phones. Look at that. The human being is faster than the phone. This is Parshas Ki Tetzé. Kitidor neder, Parshas Ki Tetzé, Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Beis. Kitidor neder Lashem Elokecha, Lo Ta'acher L'Shalmo. Ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem Elokecha, Me'imach V'haya Becha Chit. That's the Pasuk. So the Gemara now darshins each word to show how each word, between the lines, contains all of the items on that long list of things for which there's a prohibition of Baal Ta'acher. So Lashem Elokecha, what does that include? Elu hadamin, harachin, v'acharamin, v'akdeshot. All of these kinds of like financial gifts, financial commitments. Lo ta'acher l'shalmo, hu v'lo chilufav. So that's how you learn. And as if you have, you know, we have this idea of chalifin, that you have to break, like the korban. We have a korban pesach. Right. So, if the korban goes missing, so it becomes something else, because now you have a new korban. After Pesach, it's nothing, right? So then, that doesn't have the same obligation. That's not a good example. So whenever you have this exchange of one thing for another, so the other thing doesn't have the same limits as the original thing. It's because it's just a kind of makeup. Ki darosh yidrashenu.
Is that talking about the tomorrow? Where you say,
yeah, well, that's what tomorrow are.
No, but I guess you're still obliged to give that original animal. No,
you're obliged to give.
Like you say, I'm going to give this one, and then you end up saying you're valid. You're still, you exchange it.
You said before, if you lose one, you have to still give the one. If you find it again, you have to give it a sacrifice.
Well, the Gemara is going to explain it, but as Rashi says, "Alav ata uver, v'lo al chilufav." If you don't offer the thing itself, so then you violate Baal Ta'acher. But if there's been an exchange for something else, so then you don't exchange Baal Ta'acher. You're not over on Baal Ta'acher for the next thing. What does he say there?
No.
Ki derosh yidrashenu elu chataot v'ashamot v'olot v'shlamim. These korbanot that in different ways come to atone for sin. And as you can understand, that's how that's hidden in the words, Darosh Yidrashenu, Hashem, the claim that Hashem makes on you. Hashem Elokecha, Elut Tztakot Asrot Uvachor, Me'imach, from with you, Ze Leket Shikcha Upeya. Why would that be hidden in the word, Me'imach? God will demand it of you, from within you.
because it requires physical action to go and to gather it up and to actually bring it. It's not like this animal. It's like, you know.
Right, and also, but until you give the leket shikho peo, where is it?
It's with you.
Right. And if these are things that are, they begin as your property, but technically they belong to the ani. If you don't give it over to the ani, right, and as you're holding it back, well, in other words, it's like hidden within you. Who would know?
Right.
How often does it happen? You're in shul and you get an aliyah, and they say mishberach, and you say mishberach, and you say no there. Yeah, so that's what we say. We say we're very tsanu. We don't like to talk about money on Shabbos. So we say v'tein matona lebeit haKnesset. In the old days, they used to announce money. They used to say chai dollars, tvei chai dollars. I remember once I was in Rabbi Tendler's shul, and they were having an appeal, and people were giving chai this, chai that, chai the other thing. And Rabbi, you know, two times chai, 10 times chai. Rabbi Tendler said, chai is what kills shuls. Better you should give mavis. Mavis to gematria is much more.
Recently I went through some papers at home and was checking my passports, and I came across an envelope that I got 4 years ago from some shul in Europe where I was for Shabbos. So they gave me an aliyah, and they gave me an envelope, and I threw it with my passport.
Yeah, but did you say matana lebeit knesset?
No, so then I realized I made a mistake. I put some dollars, and then I sent it. It's like, okay, I said that.
The fact that somebody sticks an envelope in your hand does not obligate you. But if you make a ned there, chai dollars lebeit knesset, so then you should, Taki, you should send in the money. So it happens a lot that you don't remember. You don't. But really, that, you know, if you make a neder, you're standing in the shul and you say you give chai dollars, or whatever it is. So in your bank account, there's $18. But hidden in that bank account, I mean, our money is all fungible, of course.
But in that bank account, it's $18.
In that bank account, in your, you know, unless you're in minus, of course. But in your plus, 18 of those dollars does not belong to you. Right? So, Darosh Yidrashenu Me'imach, right? In other words, you have it hidden away in your sock drawer, under your pillow, wherever it is, but we're going to get it. And that's the same thing with a person that keeps the Leket Shekho Peya. It's not your property. We understand. It's your, you. It looks like your property, right? It's
right, it looks the same.
It looks the same.
Right.
It's from your field. And so it's in your silo.
And so does the $18.
And so does $18.
I was in a shul once in Paris, and I got an aliyah. I asked the person, how much is it? How much, you know, what do you suggest I give?
Oh, I suggest?
€50. €50?
That's like $200? No. €200.
€200.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's what he suggested.
Yeah, well. I said, I'll. You can give it to me. I'll give it to them.
Did you tell them you're an Israeli?
Kind of.
V'haya b'chachet. If you don't give it, v'lo b'korbanecha chet. Amamar lo ta'acher l'shalmo. Hu v'lo chilufav. So this, now the Gemara goes on to this topic of chilufin.
What do you mean by v'haya b'chachet? What was that? Meaning, if you don't do it, you want to bechet in your korban. And a korban itself.
Right. That is, the korban is still a korban.
But if you would wait, then it would be itself. If you wait,
right. And if you wait, it's still a korban.
So if you wait past the time. Then it would be fine.
No.
Rashi says ain a korban nifsal b'kach. That fact that you waited, but if you waited, let's say, longer than the period of the Baal Ta'acher, then you would be nifsal.
No. You violate the iser deraisa of Baal Ta'acher. That's if you make a neder, you say this goat is a korban.
I know which one's a dirty.
This goat is a korban. So you And then you violate Bal Tachir.
Okay.
You miss, you blow the deadline by 6 months, by a year. You now have this Isser, but what? What do you have to still do? You still have to bring this korban.
Right.
The animal is, doesn't become puzzle because you're over on Bal Tachir. And if you keep going, so it just keeps going. But you're still chayev to bring that animal.